KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM, live and local, presents The On-Air Chat. And now, here are your hosts, Aaron Harder and Ron Thomas.
Steamy Wednesday morning to all. Welcome to The On-Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. For commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more, call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. Good morning, Ron Thomas.
Hello, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm doing great. What a change in weather.
We've had a little bit of everything here the last month. We've had extreme heat. We set a record for the coldest daytime high in the month of August. And we've had a nearly record amount of rainfall for a three-hour period just yesterday morning. 5.2 here at the studios yesterday.
Yeah, very quickly, 5.2.
Yeah, in about 3 hours.
Yeah, we had the folks from Wisconsin that we hired for the rec steering committee in. They got in Monday night. We're out touring some sites. It was pretty nice on Monday. And then yesterday morning, they saw what 6 inches of rain can do in 3 hours. And then today, they're going to see what 110 feels like.
Yeah. That heat index, heat advisory in effect this afternoon. So, yeah, heat index readings 106, possibly higher coming up today. So, brace yourselves for that.
Indoors, air conditioning, hydration.
Keep hydrated. Keep that fluid level up.
Well, we got a great program lined up today. Talking about the School of Visual and Performing Arts at Emporia State University. Pretty much the same school as before with a new name. Is that fair to say? David Charlot is the dean. Good morning, David.
Good morning. Yes, that's the name of the school, and it's been reorganized in the last year, and I think we're off to a good start.
So it used to be, Department of Music, Department of Theater, and so now it's just under one umbrella. Is that how?
Yeah, so the we have the three programs now. We have a program of music and theater and art, and all under the auspices of the School of Visual and Performing Arts. So that way we can focus on all things art.
Well, that's good, and we've got program directors of the departments here for the most part. Alan Constock not with us, but Don McConkie will represent the music department with us here. And Don is the veteran of this group. Pull that mic just a little bit closer over there. You can pull that over.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
So you have, how long have you been at Emporia State, Don?
23 years.
And you are a professor of music, correct?
I am a professor of music and assistant dean. I teach clarinet and saxophone.
So over 20 years, been a good run for you then, huh?
It has.
So how about this this change in formatics for this department?
Well, what do you think about exciting. That? Pretty exciting. We've done some collaboration already last year, and we do collaborate. We have done collaborations in the past, especially with our homecoming musical. The musicians are from the music program. So we've been collaborating more with the Emporia First Fridays and working on some more collaborations.
I know that the flute department's been involved in First Fridays, representing the Department of Music. So.
Yep. My groups, the clarinet choir and the saxophone ensemble, also, I think on May 5th, participated in the steamroller event.
I remember that. So how did that go, by the way?
It was good. It was very fun. We were right next to the steamroller event, so it was kind of surreal to be conducting a piece and to see the steamrolling happening
literally
behind us.
A steamroller.
Yeah, it was really, really fun, actually. We enjoyed it. Well, we changed our program to kind of match what was happening. So we did. I did an arrangement of Painted Black because, the print is black.
I was going to say, you don't often get to, direct and compose for a steamroller, do you?
No. Not often. That's the first time.
Well, we'll have Don back to talk about the music department's annual gala fundraising event coming up. Is that October?
It's in September.
September, okay.
September 14th.
Jeez, that's just about here then, isn't it?
It really is, yes.
Is that earlier this year?
It is a little earlier. We had a little bit of scheduling trouble with early homecoming, so moving things around and finding a good date for everyone. So we're on September 14th in Albert Taylor Hall.
Okay. We'll get more about that in just a little bit. Let's welcome in Aubrey Wilson, who's program director of theater. Aubrey,
Hi.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. So how are things? I guess summer theater is just over with now, huh?
Correct.
So
yes.
How'd that go?
It went wonderful. We had sold out audiences pretty much for every performance. And we had a rowdy group of students accompanied by Provost Thomas. And we think it was a rousing success. So we were really excited about what happened this summer.
Always going to be a rowdy group if Provost Thomas is there.
Oh, yeah.
So tell us about yourself, Aubrey. You have been at Emporia State how long now?
I taught adjunct last year, and this is my first year as director of theater, but I'm an ESU alum, so my heart is here, and I'm very familiar with the program.
Well, let's learn a little bit more about Aubrey, a little bit about your history.
Yeah, so I studied at Emporia State University from 2010 to 2014. Jim Bartriff was the director of theater at that time, and he is my
good guy.
A great guy. He's still my mentor. I talk to him probably weekly. Just a wonderful, wonderful human. And after I studied at Emporia State, I worked in New York City off-Broadway, and I also went to graduate school at the University of Iowa, which is a top five program for my area of study, which is stage management. After that, I worked in Oregon. I met the love of my life, Nick Wilson, at University of Iowa, and we moved back to his hometown in Oregon, and I worked as director of operations for a theater company there. So I've been kind of all over the country. My foundations at ESU really prepared me for success, and I'm excited to prepare the next generation of students for success in theater.
So, yeah, you've elevated yourself from off-Broadway in New York to Emporia State University.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's the way to do it. Well, good to have you here.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, good to talk to you. And also, Kate Iceland, Interim Program Director of Arts. Kate, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you today?
I'm very good. Happy to be in the air conditioning.
Yeah, it feels good in here. So how long have you been a Hornet?
Only a year. I actually moved to Emporia last summer to take the new full-time art history assistant professor position within the art program, and am now interim director for this year. It's been great being part of the art program here. I have a BFA in sculpture, so it was wonderful to be surrounded by artists again, and I get to see every student that comes through the program, so it's been great.
So far, so good, huh?
Yeah, absolutely.
So a little bit about Kate, your history.
So I'm originally from Wisconsin. I'm not sure if you can hear the accent or not.
It's not that Wisconsin-ish, really.
I am loving all the love that the Northern Midwest is getting lately, so it's been nice with that. I'm originally from Wisconsin, went to Milwaukee Institute of Art and Design, got my BFA in sculpture, decided to pursue art history because I loved the research so much. So I have a couple masters from the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, one in art history and one in classical Greek. So yes, I can read the Odyssey, and it's really cool in Greek.
Oh.
But I got my PhD from Mizzou. So I was living in Columbia the last decade or so and then moved here. Super pumped to still be in the Midwest. Really love Emporia. I grew up in a small town, a little smaller than Emporia, but it's been really nice with having the community here, and especially a community that supports the arts. So predominantly, it's been wonderful.
Awesome. Welcome.
Thank you.
David, a quick background on you. You've been here for
a few months.
Sure.
Maybe two and a half.
Yeah, these two are veterans compared to you.
Yeah, yeah, they're veterans. I'm the young one.
But how'd you get to Emporia State?
Well, I spent the last 14 years at Missouri Southern State University. I came in as the director of choral activities and then moved up into assistant dean and chair position. And when I saw this opening, it just had everything of the experiences that I had had prior to that. It spoke to me. And I just said, I have to apply. And so I did. And all the trails led to me being here, so it's great to be here.
Well, welcome. I know I met you and Dean Bashaw a couple of months ago.
Right.
You were really fresh into town, and Dean Bashaw was pumped to have you as part of the team at Emporia State, and we haven't had I don't know if we've ever had the whole school up here representing at once, but there's a lot of new things happening at ESU, including in the School of Visual Arts or Visual and Performing Arts. Aubrey, let's start with you. What's going on in the theater department?
Well, it's a really exciting time for ESU Theater. We're kind of in the midst of what I'd like to call a revival, specifically with our Theater Guild. Now, the Theater Guild has historically served as a booster club, if you will, for the Emporia State Theater Department, and it over COVID had some struggles and disbanded a little bit, but we've had some really incredible community support. And they want to restart it. So a lot of my work the last 2 months has been meeting with Jean Ellen Kegler, who used to be Jean Ellen Jansen, who actually choreographed the first Homecoming musical. She is our new president of the ESU Theater Guild. And she and I have met probably weekly since I've started to try and get things revived. So we are having an informational meeting and gathering on September 22nd at 4:30 p.m. This is an ice cream social themed after our Homecoming musical, She Loves Me. And anyone in the community can come get some ice cream, learn about what it means to be in the Theater Guild and how they can support ESU Theater. So that's really one of the really exciting new things that I've been working on lately.
Where are people going to go?
Sauter Alumni Center.
Okay.
Yes.
And then your first performance of the year is the Homecoming musical?
Yes, the Homecoming musical. We've got a really exciting kind of female forward season planned. So the first musical of the year, well, the only musical of the year, is our Homecoming show, She Loves Me. And if you're familiar with the rom-com You've Got Mail, it's the same origin story. So it's about two people who have been writing love letters to each other, and they've fallen in love via letter, and they don't realize that they work together and that they hate each other at work.
No Tom Hanks, no Meg Ryan.
No Tom Hanks, no Meg Ryan. But we've got a bunch of really awesome students that are going to fill those roles. So I think you'll find it charming and lovely and a really nice way to kick off the school year.
Okay.
What about the rest of your season?
Yeah, so second, we have our Kennedy Center entry show called Time Stands Still by Donald Margulies. It is a story of a woman who comes back from war and kind of her grappling with what she should do. She's a photojournalist, and if she should go back to Iraq or if she should stay in the United States. So really kind of great acting roles for our students and something to ponder on. That's our second show. Following that, we're doing a new play by Margot Connolly. It's called Tough. It is about a female camp that is kind of marketed as a camp for correctional behavior for young girls. And the girls find out that if someone gets seriously injured, they all get to go home. So they plan an uprising. It's a very interesting glimpse into the world of feminism, where maybe it's not about friendship per se, but it is about the strength of females, which is really fun. And then we're ending the year on a lighter note. The last show is called The Mistress of the Inn by Carlo Goldoni. And it is about an inn where all of the men that have checked in for this specific time have fallen in love with the owner of the inn. So lots of comedic moments. That one's in Carl C. Bruder Theater, so we're thinking period piece and very exciting costumes and scenery for that show.
Awesome. Great lineup. And so you've been thinking about next summer's theater?
Oh, yeah.
Next summer's summer theater?
Absolutely. We talk about summer theater every day, and I have some very exciting news. So as part of our Theater Guild expansion and as part of our kind of revival of this theater program, we are expanding summer theater for next summer. So at this time, what I can promise is at least two shows for sure. And it is my goal to restore it to its four show season. This is going to take time and this is going to take funding. So we have started a new campaign called Up with Theater, Down with Boredom. And this campaign is based on a picture from the 1970s where there was a sit-in in Plum Hall with students holding signs that said had that exact phrase. So we are raising money to make sure that summer theater can be there for the community so that we can pay our students to perform for everyone and also provide those opportunities of involvement across Emporia.
Okay. Well, way to light that fuse.
Yeah, we're ready. I just started and I am running.
No kidding.
How can people get tickets?
Yes. So you can get tickets at emporia.edu/tickets. Pretty simple. Tickets are not on sale yet for the homecoming musical, but they will be on sale shortly. If you do join that theater guild, you'll get a ticket at a discounted price, as well as you'll be able to get tickets early, earlier than the general public. We're still working out the details on that, but tickets should go live for those theater guild members soon.
So where will the homecoming musical be?
In the Carl C. Bruder Theater.
Okay.
And if somebody is interested about donating...
Yeah.
For summer expansion?
Yes, absolutely. If you'd like to donate, please contact the ESU Foundation. Angela Fullen has been our contact, and she is incredible. She can help you decide if your donation needs to go specifically to summer theater or if you'd like to donate to the general season, as well as you could look at a guild membership. A guild membership is a little different than donating to the summer theater season or to the general season, because the guild membership comes with private parties and becomes a way to get involved with the department. So there are kind of two avenues. You can become a member of the guild, or you can become what we call an angel. And that name has been used, I think, for a very long time. And there are different levels of angel giving. Lots of people think that we call them angels just because they're nice, but actually it is a professional theater term used in Broadway producing. So if you're familiar with The Producers, the musical, there's this whole scene with all the theater angels. Essentially, we call donors to theater for for-profit theaters angels, because they make an investment without any expectation of anything in return. So our theater angels are giving without expectation of return, other than they're giving for the love of theater. And so that's why they have that very special name.
Yeah, their return is you keep doing shows.
Yeah,
so they can
absolutely.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
Well, sounds like a great lineup. Let's take our first break. We'll come back and get with Kate and talk about the art department. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs, including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Summer's been nice for the kids, but it's back to school time. KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local.
KVOE, live and local, and time now for a look at headlines being brought to you today by Jan Utech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. She has the experience to get the job done in today's real estate market. Call Jan at 620-343-5100. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom, and a look at all the latest local headlines, here is Kagan Trahoon.
Thanks, Sean, and good morning once again, everyone. Well, cleanup continues after flooding rainfall yesterday, especially in the downtown corridor here in Emporia. But now our attentions are shifting to the possibility of severe storm activity later this evening. And before that, we will see oppressive heat here in the KVOE listening area, as a heat advisory has been issued for the entire area from 1 to 7 p.m., reflecting temperatures near 98 degrees and heat index values possibly as high as 106. So be sure to stay tuned to KVOE, KVOE.com, and KVOE social media for more updates on that situation as it unfolds. Students at Emporia Public Schools are back at it, as today is the first official day of classes, and Superintendent Dr. Allison Anderson Harder says there's a lot of students in the buildings based on enrollment stats, but back to school means renewed emphasis on safety around schools, and Police Captain Ray Mattis says one of the biggest issues is safety around buses. And classes are also now underway at Flint Hills Technical College, but administrators are still encouraging potential students to enroll, as some morning classes are currently full with wait lists, but most afternoon classes have openings, as do the evening classes. Additional details on these stories and more can be found by visiting the news page online at KVOE.com. Once again, from inside the 24-hour KVOE newsroom with your check of local news headlines, I'm Tegan Trahoon right here on KVOE 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Thank you, Tegan. Currently, we do have a light east breeze, mostly sunny skies, 81 degrees at KVOE live and local. Headlines brought to you this hour by JNU Tech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. For buying or selling a home or property, contact Jan at 620-343-5100.
Welcome back to the on-air chat. Ron Thomas, Aaron Harder hosting. The School of Visual and Performing Arts at Emporia State University is our subject today. We have the Dean, David Charlow, Aubrey Wilson, Program Director of Theater, Don McConkie, Professor of Music, and Kate Eisland, the Interim Program Director of Art, as our guests. Kate, let's talk about the art department.
All right.
Awesome things happening there. And as you said, being in a community that really supports the arts helps a ton, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely. Lots of exciting things in the art program as well. Speaking of the community, so we have a lot of engagement with the community. We have a new professor, Haley Quick. She's been here for a year now, so kind of new. But you might actually recognize some of her work going in downtown. She's putting in the mural with the birds downtown. So she teaches courses, a variety, you know, drawing, printmaking, different things like that. But she also teaches a public art class that we offer every single semester. They're going to be doing fiber arts this semester. She was the one who oversaw the Steamroll event, which, by the way, will happen again this coming May, so mark your calendars for first Friday in May. You'll be able to see it again, and so a lot of this public art happening within the community as well. Our students also are required to take these art form classes that help prepare them for life after college, and it's a professional practice course of sorts in that they are getting to do different opportunities around town, and one of those things include attending art form lectures. These are done in conjunction with Emporia First Friday. We do them three times each semester. So in the fall, it's September, October, November, and in the spring, we do it February, March, and April. And these consist of bringing in a professional in the art field, and there are a variety of concentrations. Our first one for this year in September is going to be a graphic designer. And so she's going to give a talk at the Lyon County History Center. They are always at the Lyon County History Center, except for October this year, is going to be at the Granada. I just want to make that clear. But these lectures happen at 4 o'clock on Emporia First Friday. The public is welcome, so please do join us for these. And students get to listen to the speaker talk about their history, what they did to get to where they are in their lives, and ask a lot of questions. And frequently, these people also offer workshops, so these students get to actually work one-on-one with them in different capacities as well. We have this year coming up, we have a painting duo coming. We have an art conservator from the Nelson Atkins coming. We have our normal glass blowout in April. So we will definitely have a stellar glass artist in April as well. And then, lots of exciting stuff in terms of that. Like I said, these happen with Emporia First Friday. So being in this arts community is great. Of course, I have to give a shout out to Kayla Mock here, who is an alum of our program and is really just been instrumental in the driving force in getting this Emporia First Friday.
She's awesome.
She is awesome.
She is great.
Yeah. And so she, you know, working with her with Emporia First Friday has been wonderful as well. And we always have a show on. So whenever Emporia First Friday is happening, make sure you come up to Emporia State and check out our galleries, the Epink and the Gilson. Sometimes we have two shows. Sometimes we have one artist doing both galleries. But we are open for Emporia First Friday, and you can come check out those shows every time. We're doing a changeover this week, so Tawny, our new graphic designer that's going to be coming in, is opening next week, and she'll be speaking for the September 1st Friday as well. And I also want to point out that in November, we are going to be doing our School of Visual and Performing Arts First Friday. So we will do a combination event that will include all of our programs. And so we should be the hosting venue for that particular month, and you can come, you get a couple stamps then, you know, and so one stop, but come see what music's doing, come see what theater's doing, come see what art is doing. And so that one in particular will be a really fun event for our entire school together.
Yeah, we have Kayla on monthly, and she does a great job. And so you're a monthly venue then?
Yes.
Emporia State?
Yeah.
Okay.
There are occasionally, like during the summer, we might not have one because there'll just be like one steady show for that time period. And January, because school's not in session. But we generally are there for every Emporia First Friday with all of that. And I will point out to you that students get really good opportunities with all of these because they're involved in the galleries. They can be showing within these stops at Emporia First Friday. And our student organizations also regularly appear within EFF as well. So we'll have like the Print Guild set up and actually print you t-shirts. And we'll have the Glass Guild always sells ornaments at Christmas, so make sure you always stop by there. They do the pumpkins for fall. So lots of exciting opportunities for students to be involved in all these.
Now, the Art Forum lectures, too, you mentioned third floor Lyon County History Center.
Yes.
They start at 4. The first Friday art walks begin at 5. So these are just an hour prior to then.
Absolutely.
The art walk officially beginning.
Yeah, and you're already downtown, so all you can do is step outside and go to the next venue.
Convenient.
Yeah, very convenient. Did you say there's two galleries in King Hall?
There is. So we have the Epping Gallery and the Gilson Gallery, which actually used to be a theater space, and there is works. There's something in the works to make it happen for next summer, I believe, right, to do like a theater gallery show?
Yeah, I've been working with Stephanie about possibly doing a theater gallery show. Yeah.
And that's the one that's directly south of Carl C. Bruder.
Yes.
And then the other one is when you walk in the door, it's to the right.
Correct.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
And I should also mention Stephanie Alanese is our gallery director. And so they are responsible for, you know, working with all these different shows and, you know, getting our Emporia First Friday all set.
And those are where the First Fridays go as well.
Yes.
Into those spaces.
Yep. Yeah. So we have the lobby, and so you can usually get refreshments and stuff and then check out the shows that are available in each one. And those are also available for students. So when they do their senior show, they have the opportunity to do their senior show within those galleries. So a professional space for each of them as well.
How's the excitement for, and we'll come back and ask you the same question, Aubrey, how's the excitement for young kids getting into arts?
Oh, I think there's a lot. We've been trying to work hard in, you know, getting kids from the community involved, too. We're actually going to be doing a exhibition for Walnut Elementary on November 23rd, which is the Saturday before Thanksgiving. I'm on the PTO there. My daughter goes there. And so we are hosting kind of like a pop-up show, and we don't include a live auction. And so this is a great way for the kids to actually show their art in a professional space. They're going to be a silent auction for their art. And this is the first year we're doing it. We are hoping that this can eventually turn into a larger event and maybe include more schools. It's a great way for kids to kind of see what we have here in Emporia.
But as far as the new kids coming in, the excitement is more or less? I mean, I'm kind of wondering how did COVID change?
Students?
Yeah, did COVID change people's thoughts on art at all?
I think they're just itching to be back in the spaces. It's so hard to teach art virtually.
Sure.
And so I think that they're just so happy to be back in the spaces again with their professors. I know last year, like I said, was my first year as art historian. It had been virtual for many years prior to that. And so they were pumped to see someone in that space too. But I mean, the students are always there. I see them working in all the classrooms after hours. They really put in a lot of effort and are excited to try all the different concentrations we have.
Yeah, all of your schools are, it's kind of a lifestyle, and you just happen to get to go to school for it as well. Have you seen the same thing in theater? I mean, obviously theater's really hard to do virtually.
Very hard to do virtually.
Other than rehearse. yeah. Your own lines.
Yeah, it's just, it doesn't work. It's a collaborative art form, and it really thrives on being with other people. I like to joke that theater is people pretending to be people for other people. Mm-hmm. That's generally what we do. But what we saw with COVID is really a revitalization of kind of focus area, I think. We have the largest incoming class that we've had in years. We have 18 new students between our teaching program for theater and our BSc or BFA BA students. And so, yeah, I think that there's a lot of new interest because what we learned during COVID is that life is way too short to not do something that you just love. And so we've really seen a lot of new students kind of turn to us, which is incredible.
And we want to get with David, too, because, you know, Emporia State has really steered things in a different direction. You know, with the strike zone activities from President Hush and what they've been doing here the past couple of years, and specifically now, David, with scholarship opportunities
right.
at Emporia State University that seem to be, there's a lot of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
How has that been?
It has been absolutely fantastic in terms of the response from students wanting to join our different ensembles and productions and collectives. It's been absolutely fantastic. I can tell you from my experience, this is my 33rd year of being in education, and I can tell you that these scholarships are very attractive. I mean, they are some of the best that I have ever seen in college, and I think students are responding. And the important thing to remember is that these scholarships are not just for our majors. They're for our non-majors. And because we feel like that our non-majors are just as important as our majors, and also when you have a non-major participate in an ensemble production, let's say, they are going to remember that for the rest of their lives, and they're going to invest themselves even more in the university, and will probably invest themselves in the university, you know, after they graduate. So I think that that is vitally important. I love the fact that we are doing that here. That's not done everywhere, I can tell you. And it's been a real jolt. I think we're up, as far as our majors, we're up 9% in our school from last year. So that is
that's significant.
That's pretty significant.
That's great.
Yeah. So I think the energy is there. You can certainly tell the energy here with our leaders, and that's going to trickle down to our students certainly.
Well, that's good, and it's a busy, active day on campus. It's move-in day today, Aaron.
It is move-in day.
Yeah.
I saw I came from a meeting downtown, and I saw plenty of kids outside. Looks like it's a rush day at the sororities as well. The kids are coming, and that's kind of the whole goal of the strike zone.
Dancing on the sorority lawns out here off at 12th Street. Yeah.
Let's get as many kids back on campus as possible. Have you seen? I mean, 9% on majors is awesome. Have you seen a lot more participation from non-majors in the theater department?
Definitely. Last year for our homecoming musical, we did Little Shop of Horrors, and both of our lead actors were non-majors.
You couldn't tell.
They were incredible. And now one of them has converted. We brought him to the dark
side. That's
fine.
Real
that's fine.
But yeah, so we, that's something that I like to advertise, is that anybody can audition for any show all year long. And specifically for the homecoming musical, we're giving away $500 scholarships to anyone that participates. So that's on stage, off stage, or in the pit. We have a new scholarship initiative to get those non-majors involved, because the homecoming musical is a celebration of what it means to be a Hornet, and it should be a campus-wide event. So we're really trying to include everyone.
Yeah, converting is fine. That's the point of going to college, right? Find out what you love.
Yeah. We love our converts.
Yeah. Same thing in the art department. Have you seen a lot of non-major participation?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have quite a few general education courses. So, for example, this year we actually had to add another section of basic drawing because so many students want to take it. And art students are required to take it, so we need to make sure we have seats for them. But we're trying to consistently add more and more opportunities for students off campus outside of art, I should say. So, yeah, there's a lot of students I see in my classes. I know other students see them or other professors see them as well from all over campus, which really creates amazing discussions within class, and you get exposed to so many other different perspectives.
And Don, that question and then follow it up with, have you seen a change in what kids want to do getting into the music field?
Well, we in our ensembles as well, there's at least, I would say, with the athletic bands and the new choir scholarships and the string scholarships, we have at least 20 to 40 non-music majors participating in those ensembles. So our ensembles are up quite a bit for the fall because of those scholarships. So there's a lot of energy there. As far as different specific majors that are participating, I have a lot of art majors in my studio. We share a lot of students, and especially music and theater, we share a lot of students that way as well. I have a lot of students that are math majors. They're probably listening. And also seem to have a lot of business students, double majors, minors in my studio as well and in the program.
Music department numbers have been very good, though, at Emporia State.
For a long time.
Yes, they have.
Yeah. You've had a lot of participation. And speaking of the music department, we'll have Bill Woodworth on with us tomorrow morning talking about the Marching Hornets and what they have coming up here. So
'tis the season.
It is, by gosh.
Homecoming will be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah. It's early.
That's right.
It is early.
October 2nd or October 3rd is when we open our homecoming musical. We usually open it the last week of October.
Are you casted?
Not yet. We have auditions next week.
I guess you need kids on campus.
We do need kids on campus. Yeah, but we're gonna hit the ground running. So
okay, let's take our second break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the music gala a little bit, and we'll talk about the school as a whole with Dean David Charlo. You're listening to the On Air Chat. We're brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction. This is KVOE. We are live and local.
Bruce Davis Construction, your go-to guys when you need commercial dirt work. From demolition to prepare for a building site or parking lot to dirt work and hauling, Bruce Davis will give you a quality job. Bruce Davis Construction, proud to be involved in recent construction jobs including the addition at Emporia High School, Emporia Travel Plaza, Glendale, and the David Trailer Zoo. Call Bruce Davis Construction at 620-342-5001. Win three large Gambino pizzas in the At Work Network. Register today at kvoe.com/at work. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM. Live, win free pizza and local.
KVOE, live and local, and time now for a look at sports headlines. Being brought to you by JanUtech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. For buying or selling a home or property, contact Jan at 620-343-5100. Now from the 24-hour KVOE newsroom and a look at all the sports you need, here is Blake Cripps.
Well, the Royals gave up big offense early, and the Twins hung a big number on a second consecutive Royals starter. They win the series, a 13-3 victory last night over the Royals. Seth Lugo got knocked out of the game after four innings, giving up nine hits and eight runs. MJ Melendez homered for KC. Michael Massey returned from back tightness and went 2-for-4 with a double, but it wasn't enough. Kansas City tries to salvage game three today. We'll join coverage at noon following an early hour of news and information on KVOE. The first pitch at 12:10. Keeping track of the playoff hunt, kind of fun this time of year for the Royals. The Yankees responded after a disappointing double-digit defeat to the White Sox by beating Chicago 4-1 yesterday. They take over the lead in the American League East. The Orioles faltered against Washington 9-3. Orioles still the lead team in the wildcard hunt. Cleveland got a 2-1 win over the Cubs to stay atop the American League Central. Detroit pounded Seattle 15-1. Meanwhile, Boston beat the Rangers 9-4, so all in all, not a great day for Kansas City in the standings. The Orioles are 5 games in front of the Royals in the wildcard standings. Minnesota is 2.5 games back of the Orioles. The Royals, the last team in the wildcard if the playoffs started today. But the cushion between the Royals and the Red Sox is just 1 game. Seattle's just 2 games back of the wildcard. After the defeats, the Royals find themselves 6 games back in the AL Central. KC gets right-handed pitcher John Schreiber to begin a rehab assignment today at AA Northwest Arkansas through a second bullpen session on Sunday. He's coming off a knee injury and had been on the DL since July 29th. That's sports. From the KVOE Sports Desk, I'm Blake Cripps.
Thank you, Blake. Sports headlines brought to you today by JNU Tech with RE/MAX Eck Real Estate. In this tight housing market, when you find a home you like, don't delay. Call Jan at 620-343-5100.
Welcome back to the on-air chat.
Talking off-air
about the Packers.
Go Pack.
Our friend that came from Wisconsin, Kate Eisland, went to Arrowhead and went to a Packers-Chiefs game. And
it was Bills-Chiefs.
Oh, Bills-Chiefs. And still wearing Packers gear?
Still wearing Packers gear.
You're one of those.
Good for you.
You're one of those.
Good for you.
That's fine. The Bills probably won that game, but we beat them in the playoffs, so it doesn't really matter.
Chiefs won.
Back-to-back Super Bowl champs going for their third. That is starting very soon as well.
They're rabid fans, Packer fans in Wisconsin. When we first moved up there, spent a couple of years. I don't know. For some reason, my wife had to go down to the mall, but it was Packers Day. And she said there was virtually 2 people, you know, in the whole mall. Everything else was, game time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah,
that's it.
A really good fan base up in Green Bay, and all of Wisconsin, I'm sure. Okay, David, let's get back to the School of Visual and Performing Arts. You guys wrapped up a bunch of stuff from the summer and workshops and camps.
Well, we didn't have any workshops and camps for this last summer, but we have our leadership team have begun to think and prepare. Discuss ideas for next summer, and that's one of our initiatives to unite our 3 different areas. And we did have camps as far as like this week with, of course, all of the choir camp and marching band camp and strings camp and so forth. But we're looking at things next summer that we can do for students and for teachers. Out in the high schools and middle schools, elementary schools, as a way to bring them on campus. And so we meet every week for a couple of hours, our leadership team, which includes the people here but and a few others. So we've already begun to talk about those things as a way to get involved in the community and for the community to come to our campus.
Yeah, you always got to be in the green light recruit mode, don't you?
Always.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are always in the recruitment mode.
That's for sure.
I know part of the reorganization from President Hush was to give your professors and your directors a little bit more leeway in recruiting as well so they can go hands-on recruiting, basically.
Right.
How's that transpired?
Well, again, to go back to the scholarships, I mean, that's a strong recruitment tool. Everybody likes to come home and say, hey, I received a scholarship for something I'm good at. And, again, don't have to be a major, but to use that to go to school, just like an athlete would to be on a sports team. So that right there has probably been one of our most powerful tools. But you combine that with the wonderful personalities of our directors and our faculty going out and recruiting. That's a big time commitment. But you've got to have the personality. You have to be able to talk to those students and meet them where they are. And we have a tremendous – I can tell you we have a tremendous group who are doing that. So, but we're armed with that.
Yeah.
Initiative of those scholarships really helps us.
What about engaging the students? I know that you've had special activities and concerts on campus. Will that be happening again this year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've got a number of concerts planned and centered around, you know, getting people here. As far as, like, our concerts and productions, that's all free to our Emporia State students. And that, I think, is a great initiative. More students can come to our productions and not have to worry about paying.
Yeah, that's great. So, and we've already talked about homecoming, but there's a lot of branches on that tree, isn't there, in Emporia State, it sounds like.
There are. There's tons of things happening, and everybody's involved in that process. And I think it's going to be exciting. You know, right now, of course, I'm hearing the marching band prepare, yeah, and they sound fantastic. Mm-hmm. They sound full, and it's going to be some great music.
And I understand, are we bringing back the homecoming parade this year?
We are.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it's been at rest here for a while.
Well, I didn't know that.
It's hibernation time.
Well, I'm excited about
revival. It's a revival time, Ron.
Yeah, so, of course, you know, the one of the central stages will be the marching band, of course. You know, you got to have a marching band when you have a parade. So that will be the but we're all involved in that process. So it'll be great.
So are you inviting the community to be a part of homecoming parade, taking entries there? How's that work?
You know, I have no idea. Do you all know?
I think it's a campus-wide parade, but we're inviting the community to come support and watch. Okay. And get prizes.
Oh, prizes.
I assume that there's going to be candy and stuff.
Right.
Well, you know, there's got to be candy.
There better be candy, otherwise I'm not going.
Well, now candy.
Just don't throw it at people.
There has to be.
You got to throw it at people's feet now. You can't play catch with them. Yes. Don, let's go to something that's coming up a little before homecoming, and that is the Music Gala. Always an awesome event.
Our this year's Music Benefit Gala is on September 14th in Albert Taylor Hall at 7:30, with a reception immediately following concert in the Plum Foyer. Last year, we brought in Paraguayan classical guitarist Berta Rojas, and we made over $10,000 in music talent scholarships, which benefit music majors, but particularly those non-major students who want to participate in our program. And I'd like to sincerely thank our community for their attendance and support last year. Because of this fund, we were able to continue to award talented musicians scholarship money, again, that aren't typically music majors. So along with these new scholarships that we have, our ensemble scholarships, this money is really high. It really highlights ESU's efforts to make college affordable for our community. And this year, we are setting a goal of $20,000 for our benefit gala.
Nice.
Our programming, we rotate our programming. So this year, we will feature our talented faculty, students, and alumni, and with a program of chamber music. And we're also excited to introduce some of our new faculty at this concert as well. So Joshua Shepherd will play, he's our new upper strings faculty. He'll play movements of a Max Brook trio with myself on clarinet and Tiffany Budke on
piano. What is
piano.
Upper strings?
Well, upper strings would be violin and viola.
Okay.
So he'll play viola. And we'll present a program of diverse composers as well. The program will be about 45 minutes. And then immediately following, like I said, there will be a reception for the community in the Plum Foyer. We will also induct Emporia's own Dr. John Erickson into the Beach Hall of Distinction, who is an alumni of Emporia High School and Emporia State. He currently teaches at Arizona State University and is co-founder and editor of the online magazine Horn Matters. I'd like to give a little bit of a background about the Beach Hall of Distinction.
Yeah.
We induct past Emporia State, Kansas State, Normal, and College of Emporia alumni, pillars and supporters of our Emporia music community, and past faculty of Emporia State and the Kansas State Normal School or the College of Emporia. We have a committee that chooses and takes nominations. Our past inductees include Jim Starr, which was, I think, last year, and Jack Mouse, which was 2 years ago, and I'd like to take a moment and express on behalf of the music program and the School of Visual and Performing Arts Our sincere condolences to Janice Borla and family. We will miss collaborating with Jack this year. And also past faculty, Terry Barham, some alumni, Catherine Borst-Jones, Dennis Fisher, Roy Burns, which was Jack Mouse's teacher, Paul and Shirley Moore, past faculty, Joseph Ott, who wrote our alma mater, and some of our supporters, Augusta Shepherd, Mildred Fulhage, and Rose Hirshhorn. And, of course, you can't forget Elaine Edwards and John Lennon. To get tickets for our event, you could do the emporia.edu/tickets, or if you want more information on the gala, we have emporia.edu/musicgalabenefit. And, of course, if that's I know that's a hard to remember, music gala benefit, so you can invert those words. So you could put music benefit gala, and it will still take you to that website. So you can find information on the concert, and you can purchase tickets, and you can donate that way.
We've been a sponsor of the Music Gala for the past handful of years here at KVUE. I was fortunate enough to MC the year that Jack Mouse was inducted into the Beach Music Hall of Honor. And you're right, our condolences out to Janice, and he will be missed. Just a superstar in the jazz realm of things musically, and an Emporia native, so he will certainly be missed. And, you know, we work pretty close with the music department, Tess Zeke and her husband Gary, but Tess has worked for us for a number of years, voice tracking some commercials. She does a great job with that. And the music department, when I was with the United Way and I was a campaign chair, the United Way fundraiser, I worked with the music department, and Gary Zeke and Alan Comstock agreed to use their first jazz concert of the year as a fundraiser for the United Way. So it's a free will donation with all proceeds going to the United Way, and they've agreed to do that again this year. So September 26th, the first concert of the year for Gary Zeke and the Jazz Ensemble will be a benefit to the United Way. So we certainly appreciate Emporia States, the music department, for all they do in helping us out there. And speaking of the music department, every Tuesday and Thursday on KVOE, we have a program called Music Notes that Tess Zeke voices and updates us on activity in the whole department twice a week on KVOE. So we'd like to keep our hands are in there somehow, some way.
Yes, they are, and we're happy to do all of that.
Yeah,
we're happy to meet you and let the community meet. Thank you, Aubrey Wilson, Program Director of Theater.
Thank you.
Emporia.edu/tickets, emporia.edu/theater/art/music, School of Visual and Performing Arts, a lot of good stuff happening up there. I'm sure you can find a phone number at emporia.edu as well and call up there to get more information. Kate Eiselin, Interim Program Director of Art, thanks for joining.
Thank you for having us.
And Don McConkey, Professor of Music at Emporia State University, thank you for joining. And David Charlo, the brand new dean of the School of Visual and Performing Arts. Nice of you to join us and let the community get to know you a little bit.
It's great to be here. It's been fun.
Yeah, just let us know how we can help.
So. Oh, we will.
Yeah. send over the posters and the ticket information and all that as your shows get closer, and we'll be happy to promote everything that goes on at the School of Visual and Performing Arts. That's going to wrap it up for the on-air chat. We've been brought to you by Bruce Davis Construction for commercial dirt work, demolition, dirt hauling, and more. Call Bruce Davis Construction, 620-342-5001. The Royals are on in the noon hour today, so Sean will bring you the noon news block shortly right here on KVUE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. We are live and local.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245 BQ Emporia.